You're listening to Real Estate with Kevin Turner on News Talk 4BC.
The majority of experts agree that stamp duty could soon be on its way out as the government grapples with the post-COVID economy. This was revealed in a recent survey conducted by Finder.com.au, and joining me to discuss that possibility is Finder's Insights Manager, Graham Cook. Graham, welcome to the show. Is it really a possibility that something could happen with stamp duty?
G'day, Kevin. How are you doing? Yeah, it seems like it definitely is. So when we surveyed economists in our monthly survey about this topic, only 30% said they think it's unlikely that we're going to see a change in the regulations when it comes to stamp duty. The rest of the economists were mixed in terms of saying it was either possible or probable that we'll see a change in the stamp duty regulation or process over the next few months. The majority of them said 2021. That was where they had their focus. They're looking for a change, but it looks like there might definitely be a change on the horizon. Mind you, I'm originally from Ireland, as you know. In Ireland, just after the GFC, economists there quickly started pointing to land tax as an alternative to stamp duty, as the way the government would likely go to boost the housing market. And what, a dozen years later now, it hasn't changed there. So we do have to watch this space.
So what do you see could happen? Because, I mean, this is a big cash cow for the governments. And you're talking there about land tax. How would you see it rolling out, Graham?
So the problem with stamp duty is that it's a kind of large burden on people who are purchasing property. You know, so it can start 20 or 30 grand. But if you're looking to buy a house, say, in the inner areas of Sydney or even Melbourne, you know, 1.5 million plus those kind of amounts, you're talking about a 90 grand cost in stamp duty. Now, that's roughly equivalent to the median individual wage just to be able to buy a house. So it's a big burden, and it means that people buy and sell, definitely buy, I mean, less than they probably likely would if they only had to cover the actual cost of the house. Plus, it means, yes, it contributes to government coffers, but it means that the only contribution governments are getting from property, you know, in this situation is one big amount up front, and only 3-4% of properties actually sell every given year. So the government could potentially increase their coffers, and the housing market could potentially be boosted if they switch to something like a land tax, which is charged over a long period of time, rather than stamp duty, which is all charged up front.
Yeah, I've often wondered about stamp duty because it's different in every state. Some states really slugged high, like New South Wales and Victoria. Other states, Queensland, where it's not quite as high, and there are even breaks for different people. You know, I wonder why we can't have one form of duty across the entire country that's a lot more equitable. I guess that's a bit utopian, but I really fail to see any justification for stamp duty at all.
Yeah, I mean, and it's one of those things that people often don't really factor in, because when you see articles online and various different think pieces about buying a house, they always talk about the 20% deposit. You need 20% to avoid lender's mortgage insurance, which you don't really want. That's the usual spiel, but people don't tend to consider that the stamp duty is also something you're going to have to pay when you start to purchase a home. And generally, it's not something you can include in your mortgage cost. So not only do you have to save 20%, you've also got to save that 50, 60, 70, 80 grand, depending on your state, to purchase a home. So it definitely is a burden that I think a lot of people who are potential buyers with deposits saved would like to see go, because you'd much rather spend that 50K, 60K in the value on your home than give it all to the government.
I couldn't agree more. And at the time of recording this interview, the announcement on the rates has just happened, and they've held firm, which through your survey, your research, you know, the majority of people believe that will be the case. I was a bit surprised actually to see one or two who thought that it might actually go either way. I mean, it seemed to me be almost like a bit of a no-brainer.
Yeah, well, you mean we have a large survey. There's kind of 40 plus economists on the survey, and some work in housing and banking related areas. Some work in areas where they're involved in selling gold, for example. So there's a kind of cross range of people there. So they're going to have varying opinions. You tend to get outliers, but looking at the general trend of the survey, I don't really see any appetite for change in the foreseeable future with this at all. I mean, look at the European Central Bank, right? That's been stuck at 0% for 14 years since the GFC and hasn't budged. So, if you're in the job where you're looking at these movements every a month and you're trying to think about stories we can write or questions we can ask economists about the cash rate, and the cash rate's not going to move for several years, you can be looking in all sorts of places to try and find something to talk about. We may very well have a lack of action on this front for quite a while.
Yeah, that's why I was really interested to see your question there about stamp duty. Just on another survey, now the RBA have also released results of a survey that you highlighted in one of your recent reports too, that 79% of experts say that JobKeeper should continue or even expand. I mean, at this point in time, it's only for a period of 6 months. Do you see it growing? Do you agree with that?
Well, I definitely think it's unlikely that it will be completely, that they'll be able to completely finish it within the 6 month period. I mean, if you look at pubs, for example, in New South Wales are starting to open up only yesterday to patrons 50 plus, but they still have to have social distancing rules in place, which means that even at the height of the week, they're only going to be at 50% capacity maximum. Restaurants are going to be in a similar situation. And economists don't see, from the same survey, they don't see those rules being relaxed until at least 2021. So, you know, it's unlikely that these industries are going to be able to go to full employment if they can't go to full patronage this year. So it is likely that that's probably going to have to be extended beyond the six-month period, as I think has been acknowledged by the government.
Yeah, I mean, while JobKeeper's been fantastic and it's obviously kept a lot of people in food and being able to pay their mortgages and so on, it can't go on forever. Like, it has to come to an end. And I also wonder how many businesses are going to collapse during this, because, I mean, JobKeeper's only one part of it, really.
Yeah, definitely. And it's you know, it's not going to cover the full income for a lot of families. It's not going to cover all of the costs they need to cover. And it's only going to go for a temporary period of time. There will be businesses that come out of this stronger, and there will be other businesses that fail. But hopefully, you know, the stronger businesses can be created and come out the other end. There is talk about increasing job seeker ongoing as well, once we get to the end of JobKeeper. So, you know, the dole might have to be boosted to give people a bit more money to play with. We did ask economists as well about their appetite for universal basic income. You may have heard of this in some economic circles, the theory that just giving people a living wage will actually make people kind of spend more, increase contentment across the board, and be more healthy for the economy. It's something that they've been trialing in a bunch of countries, but we didn't find economists here very receptive to that.
Graham, always great talking to you. Thank you very much for your time. Graham Cook is the finders.com.au Insights Manager. Graham, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Kevin.